we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Didn't get up and join us. Thank you for watching it later on Facebook or YouTube or all those other platforms that Webmaster Jared is shooting those things up on. Appreciate you being here. I know, the internet's an amazing thing. Videos are an amazing thing. I know that you guys have a lot of different things that you could watch. And I'm always humbled. Maybe that's not the right word. I know me. You know what I'm saying? I know me. I know I got no business being on any pedestal anywhere. I know that at any moment in my life, I'm capable of doing something that would be just absolutely stupid. Stupid. Remember this, all wrong behavior begins with wrong thinking. Just stop right there a second. I want you to ponder that a minute. Every stupid thing you ever did, you did it because it was stupid. You didn't think it through. In fact, that goes back to the garden, doesn't it? Did God really say, oh, you're not going to die? All wrong behavior begins with wrong thinking. Oh, my car will make it. It needs an oil change, honey. As my wife would say, honey, that car needs an oil change. Oh, honey, we'll make it. We'll make it. We get halfway there, and what happens? Yeah. Hey, honey, have you checked those brakes lately? We'll be okay. The Lord's got us covered. Get halfway there. Whatever. I've got no brakes. Right? Guy steps out on his wife. She'll never know, man. He's a businessman. He goes on long hill. She'll never know. He ends up getting caught. Some guy's surfing around on his computer looking at porn ad. Nobody will ever know. Darkness in my own house. Nobody will ever know. All wrong behavior begins with wrong thinking. And you know what? There's so many of our problems in our lives that we could avoid if we could just begin to really and truly focus on the truth and obey the truth. Really, really. And then we like to bring in, what's the word I'm looking for? We like to bring in outside opinions. Yeah, well, my pastor said this, and yeah, Jordan Peterson said this, and Dan Bongino said this, and Nancy Pelosi said this. And the next thing you know, we're listening to bad voices, bad direction, bad voices. We end up in some place that, well, how did we ever get here? How do we ever get here, and how do we ever get back? So we sit here on the 22nd day of July, 2020. You look out over the scope of things. You ask yourself a very simple question. How did we get here? How did the America that I grew up in, was born in 1952, 7 years after the Second World War ended, I was one of those baby boomers. How did we end up here? How did this nation become so godless? Well, that's not even true, is it? God's a generic term. How did this nation become so Christless? How did we develop in America a form of godliness and denying the power thereof? How did we get there? Because, well, that's where we are, isn't it? Isn't that where it is? Isn't so much of our Christianity, as we've spoken about over the last couple weeks, isn't so much of our Christianity virtue signaling? Act like Christians now. Christians don't do that kind of things, boys. Yeah, we've made Christianity in a lot of ways a behavioral schematic. This is how Christians behave. See how it's happened. Christians don't judge. Christians don't cause conflict. Christians don't speak up. Christians always obey. Let me ask you something real quickly right there. Just hit me. Are Christians called to always obey? I'm going to lay that right out there right now, right? It's a good place to jump off here. Is obedience a sign of a good Christian? Or better yet, what is a good Christian? And do good Christians always obey? Go.
I think
that's your point. Come on in.
It depends on who you're talking about obeying. I think the Bible is very clear that we should obey God rather than man.
Luann just put up in there, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and we are to obey God rather than man. How does that, folks, how does that play out? How do you recognize obedience to God rather than obedience to man? Come on in here.
All right, I can help you. Obedience is better than sacrifice. What would God say? Do you need to do? Trust me, when you don't listen to God, He brings a standard against you.
So, Luann, what's your position on abortion?
Oh, that's an absolute no-no.
What have you done? Luann, what have you done about it?
I went to abortion clinics down here. I've been in the park. I've talked to everybody that I know, even women who were having abortions.
So, Luann, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, okay? I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm making a point here. So, in other words, you went to the slaughterhouse where they were slaughtering people and you talked about it. Is that what you did?
Yes, I was talking to the women.
Stood outside and said, don't slaughter, baby. Slaughter babies.
How important it was to God not to do that.
Okay, so Luann, if I put you in charge of my 5-year-old grandson and you're babysitting him and somebody comes and they want to slaughter him, are you going to talk to them about how God doesn't want them to do that,
Luann? Oh, I'm going to stop them. Trust me, there ain't nobody going to touch that baby.
Well, why are we letting them touch him inside the abortion clinic?
It has to do with law. The law won't let you do it.
Luann, you just told me that to obey was better than sacrifice.
Exactly. So you go there. I always told her, you don't want that baby? You give it to Granny. I'll take that baby.
But Granny, Luann, how many you got in your house? How many babies do you have in your house?
Right now, I don't have any, but I used
okay.
to have
them. Okay. Hey, folks, I'm not picking on Luann. I'm making a point. I'm not picking on Luann. See, we have to be very careful, folks, all of us. I'm talking to me now. Yes. We have to be careful that we don't make biblical commands, that we don't make those just virtue signaling. That we don't take biblical commands and just have them be something that we repeat. All right?
Now we're on the issue.
Here's why I'm on this right now. I went to Randall Terry's event last night. Should I jump in here? I haven't laid a good groundwork yet about. Well, I will. It's okay. I went to the event last night with Randall Terry. And it was good. Mark Harrington, God bless Mark Harrington and all he does to put things together. But I came home today and I made some notes. Is Ray LeBlanc in here today, Ray? I want you to talk about what happened with Jane yesterday. And so last night we were at the Randall Terry event, and it was kind of interesting. Lord, help me get through this. Help me to say this the right way. And Randall Terry brought out a point last night that I didn't know. I didn't know this. I'm on my other computer's down, so I'm messing around with my computer. I'm getting lost. I'm sorry. Let's see. What am I looking for? Here's what I'm looking for. Randall Terry said in the last election, Hillary Clinton election, 55% of Catholics voted for Hillary. 55%. And they turned around, smacked us in the mouth and said a little over 30% of evangelifish voted for Hillary. That if the Christians, with all the yakking and slapping and everything that goes on and showing up in abortion clinics and holding signs, and if Christians just voted like Christians, we wouldn't have to be outside those abortion clinics. What? We wouldn't have to be out there. But I noticed something last night that Randall, I don't think he did it on purpose. I'm not talking behind Randall's back, so please don't anybody take it that way, okay? If Randall was here, I'd say the same thing to him. Randall converted to Catholicism. He was a hardcore mainline evangelifish. And he converted to Catholicism. So much of Randall Terry's following now are Catholics. I love my Catholic brother. I love Johnny Tuttle. I could lay out a bunch of them that I love. And I was thinking last night is Randall kept making the point Protestant, evangelical and Catholic. It's like saying black and white. To my black friends and to my white friends, to my black friends and to my white friends, and to my black friends and to my white. Theology aside, why the Catholic-Protestant divide on issues like abortion? Can somebody help me with that? If you're pro-life, does it matter if you're a Catholic? If you're pro-life, does it matter if you're a Protestant? If you're pro-life, does it matter whether you're a Presbyterian? If you're pro-life and you want to defend unborn babies, does it matter if you're an atheist? Why? Come on, help me out here. Somebody help me out here. Why the Protestant-Catholic divide on these culture issues? Go. Somebody help me. Come on. Somebody come on in here. Okay. I'm not working with him. He's Catholic. So I'm not working with him. He's Catholic. They're out there saying that rosary. I ain't going to have any part. Meanwhile, inside there, babies are dying. Babies are dying, like I was just talking about Luann. And you go to the abortion clinic, and you hear people say, evangelifish says, well, I'm not going to go down there and stand with those folks. They're praying the rosary. I'm going to stay away from them. So they're done. The Catholics are in one section of it, and the jellyfish are in another section of it. And then you go to an event last night, and I'm not being critical, and Randall's talking to Protestants, and he's talking to Catholics. And we're trying to win a war for the preborn, and we can't get by these divisions. Somebody help me. Come on. Come on in. I'm serious.
Coach.
Yeah, Joe.
We have all had a form of Christianity and denying the power thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have personally never been to an abortion clinic.
Okay.
It's because I have to go to work. I have to do this. I have to do that.
Right.
Okay. The priority is wrong because my relationship to God is wrong.
That's right, Joe. All wrong behavior begins with wrong thinking, doesn't it?
Correct.
It does. So, listen, I never, ever... Go ahead.
Question, is it required biblically to have a man between us and Jesus?
I think that
people are looking for a man to follow, so they look for a religion. And they don't realize they've already got one if they read the book of all the New Testament and what Paul wrote in his letters and the way the disciples followed Christ. All of that is them following Jesus Christ. And anything where a religion, where you're following a man in charge of a building or a man in charge of a religion, is people seeking a man's doctrine because I think they want to follow a traditional man's doctrine to prove they're doing something. You can't see what you're doing with Jesus. He left. He left the Comforter with us. It's invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Why do people seek a man, whether it's Protestant or Catholic or Buddhist or whatever, to follow some tradition that a man wrote? We got the Bible. We got how to do it. I just don't understand any of it, Coach. I really don't.
Well, Mark, you know, I would it's not unusual. In fact, this would be a good test for a lot of you folks. Begin to ask people what religion they are. And you know what they'll give you? They'll give you their denomination. They'll give you their denomination. I'm Baptist. We're Southern Baptist. We're Methodist. We're Lutheran. We're Presbyterians. We're Episcopalians. We're Jellyfish. They give you their denomination. They give you their brand of Christianity. Go ahead, Larry. I feel you.
Yeah. You know, I've mentioned this before on the show, not too often, but you're absolutely 100% correct. That's the response you get. And, you know, analyzing that from the Word of God says what's in your heart comes out of your mouth. If somebody asks you what your religion is and your brain processes the question and you answer it with your denominational tag, well, that's what was in your heart. Is your connection to God is connected to that denominational tag. The Word of God also says, I will have no other gods before me. I'll tell you right now, folks, take this to the bank. Baptism or Catholicism, any religion, any man-made religion, as Mark was talking about, is a god before God. If that religion is first in your mind and your mind and your heart, and that's what comes out of your mouth, that's what was in your heart. If that's if you have put a god in front of God, the creator of the universe, if you hold that religion, that denomination, to such a high regard.
So, okay, Larry, so here's a good let me use this for instance. People say, hey, this is a theology-free zone, okay? I have my beliefs. I have what I believe, all right? I try not to, although I'm pretty strong-willed, I try not to impose my beliefs on you. You're welcome to believe whatever you want to when you come here. But I know this, that the divide, let's pull back from the Catholic divide a minute. The divide in Protestantism is even worse. It's even worse. I know, I'm telling you, Southern Baptists do not believe in the baptism and the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. They don't believe in it. They teach it. They do not. They teach it's of the devil. Tongues ceased. And then I go to my Pentecostal friends or my charismatic friends or my whatever, and they totally and completely believe in the gifts of the Spirit, including prayer language, speaking in tongues. And I'm sorry, Lord. Okay, I'll just say it. There is not a more religious group in the world than Southern Baptists. Not as far as I know, a Christian denomination as dogmatic as the Southern Baptists. The Southern Baptists, sorry, in my experience, are against just about everything. Would somebody
Amen, help Coach. Me out here? Amen.
They're against just about everything. Everything that does not line up with whatever their theology is within their church, right? I don't even know where I'm going today, other than I saw it so clearly last night. So clearly last night. In fact, Mark Harrington told me that some of his supporters would not come and hear Randall Terry because, can somebody finish it for me?
He's Catholic.
Now, we're not talking Coach, about worshiping together. We're talking about saving children. We're talking about a strategy to rescue the unborn, and we won't lay down our denominational banner to come. Hey, folks, listen. I'm not going to get into a debate here, Catholic, Catholicism, Christianity, Mormon. I'm not going to get into all that debate, although those things really, really matter. They really, really do matter. But ain't none of them. I'll fight with Glenn Beck. He's a Mormon. I'll fight with him to end abortion. I will. I'll fight with my good buddy, Johnny Tuttle, who's been out in front of that abortion clinic for 30 some years. I'll fight with Johnny. I'm not going to pray to Mary. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say the rosary. By God, I'll fight with Johnny. Why do we have this? What is going on? This lack of association within the body of Christ. I'm struggling this morning because I saw it so clearly last night. Boys and girls, we're not going to win. We're not going to win. First of all, half of Catholics, they're voting for baby killers. The pro-life Catholic Church, half of Catholics are voting for baby murderers. And 30% of jellyfish are voting for baby murderers. How can we possibly move the ball forward? I'm struggling. I'm not struggling. That's not the right word. I'm reaching out today. What's going on, man? What kind of team is this where the offense and the defense argue with each other and the quarterbacks and the receivers are arguing with the linemen? And you can't win like that. We got them so outnumbered.
Amen, Coach.
I'm looking for an answer. Somebody help. Because I'm going to tell you something. There are some of you within this huddle that carry that religious spirit with you. Oh, I hear from you. I hear from you. Now, there's a difference between can two walk together lest they agree? Bible says that. Can two walk together lest they agree? I'm not going to, hey, John Tuttle, I ain't saying the rosary with you, brother. I ain't doing it. I'm not praying to Mary. But I'll meet you at the abortion clinic. I'll meet you there, brother, and I'll stand there with you, and I'll hold a sign with you, and I'm with you, man. I'm with you. But no, I'm not saying the rosary. No, I'm not making the sign of the cross. I'm not doing a novena to Mary. No, I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to do that. But I also know that when I go to the abortion clinic, that sometimes when I'm out there, are you sitting down, folks? Are you sitting down? Sometimes when I'm out there, I hear people praying in tongues. I hear them doing it. But I ignore it, and they're still my friends because they're jellyfish. They're not Catholics. They're jellyfish.
Well, Coach, maybe we're looking for reasons not to go. As soon as we find one, we're like, oh, found a reason. I ain't going.
Yep.
Oh, found another reason. There's two reasons I can't go.
My pastor warned me about that.
Amen. Aren't y'all glad Paul overcame that?
Oh, my goodness. Hey, Mark. My pastor told me there ain't no such thing as speaking in tongues. And I go there and they're doing it. They must be of the devil. I ain't hanging out with them. So I can't hang out with the tongue talkers, and I can't hang out with the praying to Mary people, and I can't hang out with whatever. And meantime, babies are dying. And we can't come together across our
can't go there.
Absolutely.
Well, we can't go there because we're not equally yoked. I can't go.
Right.
Instead, we ought to be focused on our common ground.
Hey, Brian, do you feel that way
Amen,
when you go?
Brian.
Do you feel that way when you go watch Cleveland Browns play? Do you look around and say, oh, there's a Catholic. I can't stay here. Oh, there's a Methodist. I can't stay here. Oh my goodness. There's a tongue. Look, honey, look. There's a tongue talker down there. Three rows down there. We got to get out of here.
Yeah, we can't go into this grocery store because we're not equally yoked.
It's crazy, isn't it?
I've witnessed that so many times.
It's crazy. Hey, Coach.
So many.
Saints meetings have that problem, do they? Saints meetings can get along all they want.
Who's that, Vinny?
Apparently.
Who's that?
I said Satan's minions can get along all they want, apparently. They don't have any problem with it.
Well, let me show you something real quick.
Well, you're on to something. How about a church in Walmart? Everybody goes to Walmart. Let's put a church in there. Cross denomination.
Yeah, they're all worshiping Walmart. So that is non-denominational, isn't it, huh? It's nomination. Hey, pull up for me real quick. Sheldon, the email that says BLM arrests. BLM arrests. A little picture. Folks, look at this. Can you see that on your screen? Hey, folks, that's Black Lives Matter right there. It's Black Lives Matter. I wonder which one of them are tongue talkers. I wonder if they all agree on everything that they're going on. First of all, look how young they are and look how white they are. Look at them.
Yeah, Coach, I was about to say there's barely a black face in the house.
For Black Lives Do you think when they show up, they worry about whether the guys across the street have the same theological beliefs as them? Think they do? No, I don't think so. They are hell-bent on destruction. They don't care. Yeah, Chad.
Okay, the problem I think is, I don't really what you even call them, the left. You see, they are united on agendas or goals, while the right is somewhat what they stand for is individuals. And that's where I think we're at, because if your mailbox is not getting dented, then you don't really care if somebody, I mean, you're concerned, oh, I'm sorry to hear that your mailbox got dented, and then you go on about your life. We don't stop and say, you know what, let's build something, let's get out here and let's get a neighborhood watcher so no one else gets their mailbox done, and we're going to do something about it. You know, and while we're out here in the neighborhood, we might as well go out here and start petitioning some of these other people to come out here and help us. And while we're doing that, why don't we do something about crime? Why don't we do something else about things that are going on in the spirit world? Why don't we do these things?
See, so, Chad,
we're just bogging down our own individual battles.
So, Chad, you drove all the way to Ohio, and you did a great job of teaching about 85 different people there. Hey, Chad, did you do a survey? Did Gary do a survey on denominations? Who was there? What denomination? Did any theology at any point ever pop up? Did we ever say, hey, listen, group one will be the Catholics and group two will be the traditionals. We'll put the Presbyterians and the Episcopals and the Methodists, you go in that group. And then over here, this group three, you'll be the tongue talkers. And over four, oh, group number four over here, you will be just kind of the mongrels, the non-denominationals. Is that what we did? Do you know the religious beliefs of anybody that was there? I don't. I don't even know yours.
No.
You don't even know mine. Coach C, do you want to come in there, man? I see your microphone's open.
Oh, I just, you know, Dave, a lot of times people ask you what your religion is, and you automatically go to denomination. Because if you tell someone I'm a Christian, the very next question they're going to ask you is, what denomination? So you just skip over that point to get there. You said before, a lot of times you said, if the trumpet sound is uncertain, who will go to battle?
Amen.
And that's where the problem is. Right now there's about 87 different trumpets sounding. You have pastors saying we can't even have church. We have pastors saying we can have church with mask on. We can have pastors saying ollie ollie oxen free, everybody come in and let it all roll. We have got to get the pastors on the same page.
Boy, there's an uncertain sound for sure, brother.
we have to go over their head, one or the other, you know.
Yep. We don't know what horn to follow, do we, Mark? We don't know what trumpet to follow.
Yeah.
And so what do we have to do? I'm just trying to be real. You know, you get a guy out to the abortion clinic for the first time and he goes home and tells his pastor, and the pastor hoists his leg and pees on it. Oh, you shouldn't be doing that. You better stay away from that coach. He'll just get you in trouble, right? Huh? That's the way it works. And so put those Antifa thugs back up there, those Black Lives Matter, right? Huh? We got Christian churches joining with these folks. Huh? Christian churches joining with these folks.
Because they don't know any better. All they hear is Black Lives Matter. They don't see what's going on behind it.
They see what's going on behind it.
They run screaming these freaks.
Christian whack-a-mole. It's Christian whack-a-mole.
Time out, Coach. You said the Christian church is joining these. Now, there's two factions, say, maybe three in that church. There's the pastor, you're saying the church is joining, the pastor's joining. The elders who are in charge of maybe the pastor are letting the church join it. And then you got the people. The people are the church, and they're following the pastor. See, they are following a man. They're not following Antifa and all these things. They're just being swept by the wind wherever the pastor goes. Elders too, but there's three people who could change a God-based church. There's three groups.
You know, I know that Coach and Mark Trump was just speaking, and I know where y'all come from, that you, when you use the word church in the context we're speaking now, you're talking about that's out there calling itself the church.
Government church.
Right. But the real church isn't involved in this kind of crap.
Yeah, but Larry, we have to be careful. I agree with you, see, but we have to also be really, really careful, because otherwise we become prideful. We're the real ones. We're the real Christians. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You guys don't know Johnny Tuttle. So when I use his name, I saw John last night. He says he listens to this show every day. So I hope you're listening, John, and I honor you. John's a Catholic, and he really loves the Lord. He really loves the Lord, and he's really strong, and he's really firm in his faith. And I've never had the first argument with Johnny Tuttle over religious issues ever. And I will stand with John Tuttle, and I'll pray with John Tuttle. Now, I'm not praying I'm not praying the Hail Mary with him. I'm not doing that. And I'm not saying the rosary with him. But I'll grab the hold of my brother's hand, and I'll pray together with John Tuttle. But most of us, see, can I tell you something? Can I tell you really the truth? Most of you don't have any difference. They don't have any idea the difference between the Methodist and the Baptist. You really don't know. You don't know the difference between a Baptist and a Church of God, or you don't know the difference between the Church of God and the Presbyterian. You don't know the difference between a Presbyterian and a Lutheran. Most of you ain't got any idea. I don't have any idea. Yet these dividing labels keep us apart. We don't even know why. And so, like Coach C was saying, like Mark was saying earlier, what religion are you? And you say, well, I'm a Methodist. They see, they want to clearly identify with you to see if you're safe to be around. That's why they ask that question. Oh, you believe like me, huh? You believe like me. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to make all you Southern Baptists mad out there. Southern Baptists don't. Do I have to say it, Lord? Okay, I will. Southern Baptists, they don't believe in the supernatural.
Amen, there's no, Coach.
There's no supernatural in the Southern Baptist Church. There's none that I know of.
When I was raised in that church, I didn't know any of them. I'll tell you that.
Well, it's the largest Christian denomination, the Southern Baptist.
Hey, you know, Coach, you know what? The body of Christ needs to take on as if we're a symphony or an orchestra. And the conductor is Jesus Christ. And then we all play our music together and make a great song.
Amen. But we can't worry. We can't, if I want to play Larry's flute or I want to play Larry's bongos. I don't like the way Larry's playing bongos, right?
You want to hear the joy, you want to hear the blessing in your description is, why do we want to know about another person's religion? Why?
Why do we? Why? That's a good question.
What makes us ask? A spirit drives us to bond with one another. A spirit in us is driving us to bond, whether it's another spirit to build the enemy forces, or whether it's the Holy Spirit drawn to light. So we're innately interested, and then our flesh reacts because they don't align with our flesh belief. Our spirits are trying to make contact with one another, but we don't let them. We don't use that spiritual interaction to speak truth. But it's our spirits that drive us to even be interested in another person. What else would, other than our spirit being wanting our flesh to interact with people?
Amen. 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 So let me throw this out. Listen, I'll take the emails. Okay, I'll take the emails. I hear all the time about the Pope and the Vatican and yada, yada, yada. You guys have any idea how far the leadership of the Southern Baptist has fallen? You have any idea how far the leadership of the Methodist Church has fallen? You have any idea? And we love to sit back and we love to, it's so easy to criticize the Roman Catholic Church. No, I'm not converting. It's so easy to criticize the Roman Catholic Church. Have you looked at what's going on in the Southern Baptist Convention? Do you have any idea? Do you understand that man's hierarchical powers lead to corruption? Do you understand that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely? And do you understand that Christian men, when they get in positions of authority, become drunk with that authority? And when they get drunk with that authority, then they have the ability to say, well, I'm speaking for God. I speak for God here. We are the council of the elders. We're the ones that.
Amen. Right? Amen.
Right.
Hey, Coach.
Hang on a minute, Jeff. I'm not getting soft here. Okay. I'm not getting soft. But I'm going to tell you this. We ain't going to win at this rate. Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, my buddy, Ricky Miller, you know, Ricky.
Yep.
Every Tuesday for 52 weeks out of the year, he loads them signs up out of the van there at the car lot, heads to the abortion clinic at Whitehall, and always ask him, who's there today, Ricky? He always mentions the name Johnny Tuttle. He loves going there, dragging out the signs, sharing the sidewalk with Johnny Tuttle every Tuesday of the year, and Johnny's always there with Ricky, and they come together outside that clinic every Tuesday of the year. Rain, snow, sleet, heat, no matter what it is, they're out there.
Well, you know, Jeff, I'm looking here right now. I've done a lot of ministry with Mark Trump, and I don't know what denomination he is. I'm telling you, I don't know. You don't have to tell me, Larry. I don't know what your denominational background is. I don't have any idea. Mark Collier, I know what Mark's background is just because I knew him as a young kid. But we go right down through this. Joe Silver, I don't know, Joe. I don't know what you – I'm sorry, man. I don't know what you believe.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, Joe. I don't care what you believe, all right? I don't care what you believe. Go ahead.
What religion was Paul?
Well, he started the whole mess, didn't he?
He identified himself as a bondservant of Jesus Christ.
Yep, which is
what most of us in here.
Amen. Amen. Amen, Joe. We serve Jesus alongside each other. There is no level between us.
I think it's really, really important to recognize the Bible says that at Antioch, they first called them Christians. They did not call them Antiochans.
It's also interesting, Larry, they didn't call themselves Christians, did they? They were first called it by somebody else, and we picked up that name, and we ran with that name. And see that there's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb, not in the denomination, not in the rules and regulations that you follow and rules and regulations that whatever. I mean, I don't have to say this to you. I could just go on and on and on and on and on with the things that we divide ourselves over. Should we worship on Saturday? Should we worship on Sunday? Should we as Passover begins at nighttime? Blah, blah, blah. When was the Easter? When did it begin? What did the Catholics do to this? What about the King James Bible? And the King James Bible has been polluted, and now they got these new trends. We argue over everything. We seek theological purity, and we have very little of it ourselves. So we know that the divide and conquer is the oldest trick in the book. Randall Terry said last night, think about this. How can a pro-life Catholic vote for Joe Biden? That's what Randall's tour is about, actually, to go to call out to Catholics. Somebody asked a question last night. Are you doing anything to awaken the Protestants? The evangelicals, huh? No, he's not doing anything for that. He's focusing on the... Anyway, he made a good point. He said the average voter, when they go to the polls, some are voting immigration, some are voting taxes, some are voting social gospel, some are voting marriage, some are voting homosexuality, some are voting... He said there is no real drop-dead core issue that all Catholics, and therefore all Christians, agree on. And I said this, I say this as a qualifying statement everywhere I go. If they don't check the pro-life issue, if they're not pro-life, I move on. I don't care if they line up with the other eight issues exactly like me. I don't care if they are not pro-life. Now, let me ask you a question. What should be that drop dead issue for all Christians? What should it be? Is it the pro-life issue? What should it be? What should be the not? See, people say, I can't vote for Donald Trump because he grabbed women's private parts. Really? Really? He's the most pro-life president we ever had. Yeah, but I mean, he's just a moral inbred. Yeah, but he's saving babies. Yeah,
Biden did it on camera. People vote for him
because we don't have a drop dead, no compromise issue that all Christians run to. We don't. And what should it be?
What should it be? Let's see. How about we follow God's law?
That'd be a good start. Huh? How about we love the Lord God with all our heart, all our soul, and mind, and our neighbors as ourselves? And if you love your neighbor, you don't kill your neighbor.
Correct.
All right.
Hey, Coach.
So from my perspective, baby killers, if you are for or even lukewarm on rescuing babies, you're off the table in my vote. Go ahead, Jeff.
As you're saying all this, I just thought of this week. Here's an example this week of what went down with the ice cream truck. I just went to Walmart, loaded that baby up with $200 worth of ice cream. The freezer is full. And I have offered this to different pastors, other Christians. We offer them. We say, listen, if you want to come down, I'll hand you the keys to that truck. You go hit the streets and hit them low-income neighborhoods, the drug neighborhoods. Go find them kids and just go out and share Jesus with them. Nobody has taken us up on the offer. I've talked to some pastors, youth pastors, Christians in the church. This week, I had my niece, Maddie, and her fiance. They're about 19 years old. They're loving this truck, man. I took them out, and I give them that example. I was like, nobody comes. And they looked at me, and they said, why won't they do this? Well, she goes to the Chapel Hill Church. Her fiance goes to a Methodist church in Fredericktown. And I've had two Nazarenes this week in my car lot already in just 3 days, offered them all. Nobody comes down. I said, all you got to do is come down, drive the truck, go hand out some ice cream to kids. They flock to the truck. Ain't none of them coming down jumping in that truck. None of them.
It's not an issue to them. I learned early in my ministry walk that somebody told me people care about souls. They don't care about people. They really don't. They really don't. I feel like I'm all over the place here today. Now, hey, Sheldon, bring up being a bully.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Okay, you asked earlier about unity. How do we get unified? What creates unity? If you use the analogy of the military, the way the military used to be, I remember joining that astute outfit in 1968, so it was quite a while ago. We walked through this line with our dirty clothes, and we all got brand new clothes, and they were all the same color, slightly different sizes. None of them fit quite right. Then we walked through another, they took our clothes and burned them. And then we walked through this other line where we all got a haircut, and it was all the same. I didn't get the different style. I got the same haircut. And then we walked through the line, and they gave us something to eat, which was rather unrecognizable, but it was food. And nobody said, well, wait a minute, I'm a Presbyterian. Oh, and they gave us these little silver things to hang around our necks, and it didn't give you too many options. It said Catholic, Protestant, or nothing. We didn't get much for options. And guess what? We all took exactly the same oath to exactly the same thing, and we committed every ounce of our being and fiber to fulfill that oath. And some of us gave all.
Amen. You know, that is such a good analogy, because it's a perfect picture of dying to self to become a part of a greater thing. And that was a perfect analogy.
Amen.
We walk right into it.
One thing missing, Jack. I'll go ahead. Sorry.
Hey, just one thing, Coach, and this, you'll know this because you're a coach and these guys listening. This is all foundational teaching. If we don't think that God is the author of life, and that this whole thing about evolution, that life comes from God, then it's like you trying to be playing against another team member, and you're looking at the coach on the other side, and he says, well, field goals are 6 points, and you say, no, field goals are 3, and touchdowns are 6. Yeah, we're not even on the same foundational basis.
No,
man.
We're not.
Truth.
Man. We're not.
And we need to unite around it, and part of that whole reason is we do not have the proper teaching of the scriptures. You know, your game book, Coach, when you would look at the rule changes or whatever, you studied them and you understood what you were up against this year, this change or whatever. Right. People do not read the scriptures. They don't study them, and they don't allow the Holy Spirit to speak through God's word.
Amen. Well, the rule book hadn't changed.
That's right. It hasn't. You're right.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
I just had a question. You were talking about it a second ago, care about souls but not about people. Can you expound on that a little bit? Because I don't see how they could be separated.
Well, they are. They can't wait to get people saved. Can't wait to get them saved. Another notch on the belt. Well, got that. Yeah, we had 5 salvations tonight. There's no follow-up. Very little real follow-up to see whether or not. See, we're called to make disciples, not converts. We love the converts. We love to brag about how many we've got saved. We had 7 people saved tonight. Oh, yeah? Talk to me in a month about where they are. Oh, well, we won't even know where they are. But really, if we can get them in here and we can get them to be good tithers, then we'll really be able to go out and get a bunch more people saved. That's the way the mentality works, right? I got something up on the screen I want to read with you because this is about the mask issue, but this applies to religious issues as well, folks. Just put religion in there where it's talking about masks. It says being a bully and discrimination against people who exert their right not to wear a mask is unfounded and is not okay. Are you God? And do you know the reason why maybe they're not wearing one? They may have health reasons. They may have a religious conviction. They may believe it's their constitutional right not to follow tyrannical orders based on nonsensical scientism. If we want to live as free humans and not as slaves, we each must stand up for the freedom of choice to decide medical care for ourselves, as well as stand up for the rights of others. Besides, masks don't even work, this guy writes. But what if you want to wear one because that is the level of your awareness and awakening? Go for it. But remember that bullying is never okay, and discriminating against someone is never okay. So the idea that we are going to be virtue shamed into certain types of behavior is a means of control. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. But don't wear a mask because the worker at Walmart is giving you a dirty look. That is the ultimate bullying, folks. The ultimate bullying. Someone telling you, you have to do this because the rest of us say you do. That's what's happening. It's not about masks. It's the exact same thing I was talking about, began with in religious circles. If you don't act like us, we are going to shame you. You speak in tongues, well, you get over there. You get over there on your own side of the sidewalk and you can rescue the babies, but don't you come in. Oh, you pray to Mary? All right, well, you can be here, but you get over there and I ain't going to have anything to do with it. It's the same bullying, shaming that's going on in the world. There's no difference, folks. There's no difference.
Yeah, I think what Jack said, what he put it in perspective. You know, in the culture or in battle, nobody's asking you what religion you are, okay, when you're facing the enemy. And the same thing with the culture war. I just sent you something, Coach. I don't know if you can play it. Illustration of what Jack just said.
We don't know the enemy. We don't know our enemy. How can you?
I want to take Jack's analogy a little bit further. He's exactly right. They want us crowded into a uniform state of being and be happy in our servitude due to consumption and entertainment. But Jack, if you look at that, what's missing? You got the clothes, you got the food, you got all these uniform things. They need some sort of identifier, a government identifier. Something you can look at people to see if they're part of that 32nd row. The bottom layer of the pyramid is all going to get the same. And then you got a uniform group in the next layer above the bottom, the middle management in the new world. The vaccinations will be different for the layers of the pyramid. So they want as many people in the bottom layer as possible. The ones who are pushing back will be sacrificed, or you'll be put in a position on the next layer up.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You need a mark. Right now they got it. The mask. They know who's going to be compliant. The mask is the way for them to determine compliance. So there's going to have to be some sort of physical identifier on a person to show that you've passed this government scrutiny.
Amen.
And even then you're going to be at risk. Even then.
Yeah, it's not even about masks, folks. If you're thinking it's about masks. Hey, Sheldon, I just sent you something, a video maybe you can pull up. I just sent it to Jerry.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Back in that time, though, when I'm talking about, there was a level of trust in the leadership. There was a level of trust and belief in justice. And in the church, I just thought about this, as far as different denominations, we did something years ago, and I never quite understood it until just this minute. We used to quote something called the Apostles' Creed, and many, many different denominations did that. Right. And you know what? There was unity because we all believed, at least at that level of uniform commitment.
Right.
The Apostles' Creed was something that really united us rather than divided us. It was, I don't know, I was just thinking about that as you were talking. That actually, when we quoted that, when we verbalized that, we were saying that most of the tenets of methodology and Presbyterianism and Wesleyanism and Assembly of Godisms, most of those tenets were incorporated into the Apostles' Creed.
That's right. That's
and that
right.
was a unifying factor rather than a dividing factor.
Hey, Coach.
Uh-huh.
I've been sitting here listening, you know, and I just dropped in my spirit. You know what? We'll all this James chapter 4, the quarrels amongst us. And I'm saying here, but I'm saying these things that you've been talking about is a cataclysmic event, tragedy. I'm not talking about the masks.
Amen.
Brother,
amen.
Remember when the floods came, brother? Let me tell you what. The atheists were sitting down with the Catholics next to the evangelicals getting food. Am I right?
Yes,
there is
sir.
No question about what denomination. Amen. Are you atheist? Do you believe, brother? Let me tell you what. Something's going to come that's going to be cataclysmic.
That's
and
right.
It'll drop all this childish nonsense, as James called it in chapter 4.
Amen. Glenn just sent me this Mel Gibson speech, "We Were Soldiers." I've never seen this, but if Glenn sent it, it's worth watching. Go ahead and play that, Sheldon. No sound.
Look around you. In the 7th Cavalry, we got a captain from the Ukraine. Another from Puerto Rico. We've got Japanese, Chinese, blacks, Hispanics, Cherokee Indians, Jews and Gentiles, all Americans. Now here in the States, some men in this unit may experience discrimination because of race or creed. But for you and me now, all that is gone. We're moving into the valley of the shadow of death, where you will watch the back of the man next to you as he will watch yours. And you won't care what color he is or by what name he calls God. They say we're leaving home. We're going to what home was always supposed to be. So let us understand the situation. We are going into battle against a tough and determined enemy. I can't promise you that I will bring you all home alive. But this I swear. Before you and before Almighty God, that when we go into battle, I will be the first to set foot on the field, and I will be the last to step off, and I will leave no one behind. Dead or alive, we will all come home together. So help me God.
Man, that's pretty powerful, huh? Thanks for that, Glenn. That's it, man. See, you know what it is, really? We don't understand the urgency or the seriousness of the war. So we're allowed to patty cake. We're allowed to stick our nose in the air and say, oh, well, he believes this and oh, he believes that. And I can't, boy, I knew one of those Presbyterians before. I ain't hanging around any of them Catholics. Oh, them Catholics, they're praying to Mary and making that sign of that cross and praying that. I'm sorry, I can't stand with them helping the abortion. Really? Isn't that it, folks? Isn't that really where we are? The theological purity? When we get to heaven, if we all make it, it's by the blood of the Lamb, by the way. You know, you don't lose your salvation because you don't follow the rules. You do understand that, don't you? You do understand that you don't get to heaven by following rules. You do understand that, don't you? Oh, rules are important. Rules are important to live a godly life. I understand that. I'm going to I don't want to shock you. I don't want to shock you. Whatever day I serve the Lord is not going to keep me from heaven. And if I eat some pork, I think I'm still going to make it. Think so. Think I'm still going to make it. Scripture says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say the ones that make the sign of the cross or don't make the sign of the cross, or the ones who believe the Apostles' Creed or the ones who don't believe the Apostles' Creed, or the ones who speak in tongues or the ones who don't speak in tongues, or the ones who wave banners or the ones who don't wave banners, or the ones who have good Christian government in their denomination or the ones who don't have good. See, it's Jesus alone. It's Jesus, salvation, forgiveness, and nothing else, folks.
Amen.
It's nothing else.
Amen.
Nothing else matters. Nothing else. And it's religion and men, teaching us commandments, the doctrines of men, raising up standards, raising up man-made standards to add to what Jesus supposedly did. If we could just learn to shake those off and not judge one another.
What Jesus did, Coach.
What he did. I can't stand with John Tuttle. He says they are Father. I just can't stand with him. Well, I'm gonna tell you something. You ain't never been in a war then. You ain't never been in a war. And truth is, we're at war. We are in the midst of a very, very deep, serious war. And we don't get it. We don't get it. We allow our differences to divide. Divide and conquer. Oldest trick in the books. Where there is unity, Scripture says, God will command the blessing. Where there is unity, not uniformity, but unity. And standing together on truth. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.